An Osho Talk. The Original Man. Talks on Zen. Number 9.
Rinzai said to a monk, "Sometimes a shout is like a hard and durable jeweled sword. Sometimes a shout is like a lion crouching on the ground, strong and powerful. Sometimes a shout is like a weed-tipped fishing pole, attracting and probing the unwary. And sometimes a shout is not used as a shout. How do you understand all this?" As the monk was thinking about it, Rinzai gave a shout. He then turned to the assembly and said, "You monks should be very careful about all this. When host and guest meet each other, there is always an exchange of words or discussion in which are exhibited either the form appropriate for the moment, the function in full, expedient devices with either joy or anger and incomplete manifestation, or the rider on a lion or the lord of elephants. For instance, a true disciple would, upon arrival, give a shout, thus presenting a tray of glue. An incompetent master, who does not know that this is just an object, would step into the glue, putting on high airs with his learning. The disciple would shout again, but the incompetent master would refuse to retreat from his wrong position. This is a mortal disease which is incurable and is called a guest looking at his host. It might happen that a competent master would not use any object, but would merely follow the disciple's question to strip him of his graspings, while the latter would refuse with all his strength. This is a host looking at his guest. It might happen that a disciple, just coming out of a still state of meditation, would present himself to a master who knows that such a state is merely the object and snatches it away from the former, throwing it into an abyss. The disciple would praise the enlightened master, who would reply, "You do not know what is good and what is bad." Thereupon, the disciple would bow his thanks. This is a host looking at a host. It might happen that a disciple, already wearing handcuffs, would present himself before a master who would put additional handcuffs on him. The disciple, however, would be joyful, and both would not see anything wrong in all this. This is a guest looking at a guest. Virtuous ones, what this mountain monk has just said is how to distinguish a demon from an unusual man in order to know which is heterodox and which is orthodox.
Manisa, Rinzai is trying to explain one of the mysteries of Zen. which has remained very strange to the outsider. The sound of quartz, it does not mean anything. We can substitute it with Yahoo. That means much more. Quartz is a single sound. Yahoo is a double sound. In fact, Yahoo should be replaced for the future Zen instead of Quartz. But whichever the sound, Rinzai has explained that although it is not meaningful, it is very significant. Before we enter into his statements, few preliminary things have to be understood, otherwise you will lose the whole track. First is the sound. It is not a word. It does not have any meaning in any dictionary or in any language. When a sound comes from your very deepest core, it is something of a miracle. You see it every day happening here. When you say Yahoo with your total energy, the sound comes from your very center, stirring your whole body, the periphery, the mind, every nerve. You can say it in a lukewarm way, then you will miss it. It has to be said exactly like the lion's roar, which comes from the belly, not just from your tongue, not even from your throat, not even from your heart, but exactly it hits just below the navel, 2 inches below to be exact. Whenever you do it, you should keep an eye from where it is coming. That is the way for you to go in. It is clearing the way. It is making a passage in a forgotten land, giving you a direct line. It connects you with yourself. Don't be bothered about idiots. they don't know anything and still all over the country either they have laughed at Yahoo in the newspapers, in the magazines, or have made skeptical remarks, not even knowing what is the significance of it. This only shows their blindness, unintelligence, and a very stubborn stupidity. Before saying a word about something unknown, you should think twice. You may not find the meaning in the dictionary, because it is not a word. You will have to find the significance in experience. You have to do it, only you can have it. Then too you will not be able to explain to another. The mystery is very profound. But Quartz in Zen for almost 1400 years has been used in different situations for different purposes. Rinzai is trying to explain to his disciples. Rinzai said to a monk, sometimes a shout is like a hard and durable jeweled sword. If it penetrates in you and reaches deep down into your very souls, it has done a tremendous work. It has created a way. Sometimes a shout is like a lion crouching on the ground. Sometimes it is simply an expression that you have come home. Strong and powerful, sometimes a shout is like a V-tipped fishing pole, attracting and probing the unwary. It does both the work, attracts those who are seekers of the path and keeps those away who are just poor curiosity mongers. They won't enter in a place where people are shouting Yahoo. To their intelligence, whatsoever they have of it, it will seem a maddening phenomenon. All that is beyond their reason is mad. Only what is reasonable is acceptable. This way the reasonable man confines his reality to a very small circle of his mind. Only the irrational, the person capable to go beyond reason, opens the doors of the beyond. He is trying to explain that it can be used in many ways, and sometimes a shout is not used as a shout, but as a salute. How do you understand all this? As the monk was thinking about it, Rinzai gave a shout. The shout is quartz. He then turned to the assembly and said, "You monks should be very careful about all this. When host and guest meet each other, there is always an exchange of words or discussion, in which are exhibited either the form appropriate for the moment, the function is full, expedient devices with either joy or anger, an incomplete manifestation, or the rider on a lion, or the lord of elephants. A small sound can perform many things because it has no meaning. You can use it in different devices. Two friends meet, not just familiar ones, acquaintances, but friends deep down, connected in the roots. They both will give the shout to show to the whole universe that we are one. When a man for the first time becomes enlightened, he gives a shout not to somebody, but to the whole existence, that let it be noted that I am no more an ignorant and unaware man. His shout is existential language. In Zen, they have symbols which are very significant. When you are out of yourself, roaming around the world, you may be immobile in the body, but your mind is roaming around. This roaming mind is a guest. And the unchanging consciousness in you is the host. So there are many possibilities. Two guests may meet, who both are out of themselves. their sound will be very shallow, just an etiquette. They themselves are not thick enough, just a thin package. But it can happen, a guest can meet a host. One who has arrived is a master. When you come to him, you are coming to a host. Your salt will be a declaration that I am ready. And the master's sound will be a declaration that you are accepted. Sometimes it happens two hosts meet, both the masters. They will give a sound which will penetrate to the very foundation of existence. This sound of quartz has never been understood by the intellectuals and will never be understood by them. They understand only superficial words. Words cannot go so deep as sounds. He is describing situations. For instance, a true disciple would, upon arrival, give a salute. Only a true disciple will have the courage to give a salute to the master, because it is a challenge to transform him, a challenge to accept him for the journey, a challenge to take him in his caravan. The false disciple, who is not a disciple but only a student, gathering here and there fragments of knowledge, will not have the nerve to give the salute. Or if he gives the salute, he will receive the master's staff on his head to put him right. Salt needs your earnest inquiry, not curiosity. And difference is clear. It is a nuance. The sound is the same. But the earnest seeker will have a power in his sound. And if the seeker is earnest and gives a sound, and the master is not a true master but a teacher only, then the disciple is presenting a tray of glue. An incompetent master who does not know that this is just an object would step into the glue, putting on high airs with his learning. It is a touchstone also. When the true disciple meets a true master, there is no way of saying how the master will respond. But one thing is certain, that if the master is not true himself, he will fall into the trap of the true disciple, whose shout is nothing but a tray of glue. He will start thinking that he is a great master, will put on high air, will start talking like a parrot, will show his learning, but the true seeker is not in search of learning or knowledge. Neither the true master is interested in teaching. The true master is interested in transforming your being, in bringing you home, in making you a host rather than a guest. You have been a guest in many forms, in many lives. True master's function is to show you the way to the home. Where you are not a guest but a host. Enough of caravanserais, enough of 5-star hotels, enough friendly familiar business life, worldly reception as a guest. Unless you find the host, you are going to remain superficial, just a personality. The true disciple would shout again. He will give another chance to the master, because it is thought to be a responsibility of a master not to be dishonest. But the incompetent master would refuse to retreat again from his wrong position. This is a mortal disease. Rinzai calls it a mortal disease. Every mortal is prone to it, the ego. The ego does not cherish the idea ever to reveal the truth. Because revealing the truth is the death of the ego. It persists, it goes on saying that which is untrue. But it cannot hide from authentic seeking eyes. They will uncover that the Master is just a parrot, repeats rightly but knows nothing. This mortal disease is incurable and is called a guest looking at his host. The Master himself is a guest. But pretending to be a host, it might happen that a competent master would not use any object, but would merely follow the disciple's question to strip him of his graspings, which the latter would refuse with all his strength. This is a host looking at his guest. But if you are facing and encountering an authentic master, then he will start destroying your personality immediately. And if you are a true disciple, you will stand naked, not hiding anything. This he calls a host looking at his guest. Somebody who needs protection, shelter, guidance, and the true master becomes everything, a guide, a friend, a shelter, a way, a companion unto the ultimate. It might happen that a disciple just coming out of a still state of meditation would present himself to a master who knows that such a state is merely the object and snatches it away from the former, throwing it into an abyss. The disciple would praise the enlightened master, who would reply, "You do not know what is good and what is bad." Thereupon the disciple would bow his thanks. This is a host looking at a host. Both understand the meaning. The South has joined them both. The disciple is coming out of the meditation. He knows the path from where he is coming. and he knows the same is the path of the south. And he has no fear. If the master takes away anything that is a hindrance, he will not cling to it. On the contrary, he will with joy relinquish it and thank the master, bow down before the master. This is called a host looking at a host. Both have arrived, one is senior host, one is a junior host, one has just arrived, but both have arrived. It might happen that a disciple, when already wearing handcuffs, would present himself before a master, who would put additional handcuffs on him. The disciple, however, would be joyful, and both would not see anything wrong in all this. This is a guest looking at a guest. Neither the master is true, nor the disciple is true. And the dishonest master can live only by putting more ornaments on the disciples. They look ornaments, but they are in fact chains to bind him. This is the ugliest situation. You have been in search of freedom and you fall prey to a man who puts you more deeper into slavery. Ryota wrote, they spoke no words. The visitor, the host, and the white chrysanthemum they spoke no words. There is a possibility, if those two persons meeting are both great masters, not fresh young flowers, but seasoned, then there is no speaking, no words. The visitor is there, the host is there, but there is no one who is a guest. The host is visiting another host. Isa wrote, under cherry trees there are no strangers. But these are ultimate expressions. When under the cherry tree two masters meet, they may not know anything about each other, but just the sound of quads, and there are no strangers. They know that they both are connected to the same source. I have not used the sound quads. It is old, traditional, has become a convention. This is the unfortunate history of everything. Soon it becomes a dead ritual. That's why I have used Yahoo. At least for my present people around the world, it will be a living sound. And when you shout Yahoo, you have to watch from what source it is coming. That is the source you have to go inwards. So every night before the meeting, I help you to show the way without telling anything. Then in the meditation you have to be amazed that this is the same path. And as I leave, I remind you again of your origin. A sound that can thrill you, each fiber and each cell of your being, can give you a dancing quality, can give you a music unheard, can give you a life that was asleep. An authentic sound penetrates so deep that you cannot remain asleep. Manisha has asked a question. Rinzai said, when host and guest meet each other, there is always an exchange of words or discussion. But he did not know about you. I wonder what Rinzai would make of a dancing master and our Yahoo shout. He will understand it perfectly. And he is saying, when a host and guest meet, then there is discussion and talk and conversation. But when two hosts meet, not a single word passes between them. Their meeting is that of presences. Their meeting is that of being, not of words and language. So Manisha, I can say without any doubt that Rinzai would understand our Yahoo shout. It does not matter what is the sound that you use. Perhaps he will appreciate it better, because in Yahoo both are present. They can be both hosts, or one can be the host, the other can be the disciple, or both can be the disciples. But the quality of their Yahoo will change accordingly. And you can feel here when some spectator by chance enters the assembly, and just out of courtesy we don't stop him, he also raises his hands, but you can see how reluctantly he also gives the Yahoo sound, but you can see what a mouse he is. It is a lion's den. If you are really here to participate in what is happening, then be total. It is not a place for spectators. I know Rinzai, hence I assume he knows me. Before we enter, the source of our being the clouds have come, to listen for your laughter, because this earth has become so dry. Nobody laughs. Nobody even smiles. Or even if they smile, that is just painted smile, lipstick smile. But I want my people to laugh like a lion's roar. Then even laughter becomes a tremendous experience, because it is intelligence at its peak. You know, you would not believe it, says Zabriskie in the bath. But I think my milkman is turning gay. Why? Asked Klopskie, what happened? Well, says Zabriskie, my wife was sick in bed the other morning, so I stayed home late to take care of her. Suddenly the milkman started ringing the doorbell, and since I was naked, I slipped on my wife's bathrobe and went downstairs. As I opened the door, the milkman jumped into my arms started kissing me and trying to take the bathrobe off me. "Hey man, don't worry," says Klopski. "He is probably not gay. That was just a coincidence." "Coincidence? What do you mean by coincidence?" asks Jevrisky. "Well, it is obvious," explains Klopski sagely. "His wife must wear a bathrobe the same color as your wife." On a trip to Rome, Sergiano is driving down the street in Jay's bright red Ferrari at about 150 miles per hour. Suddenly, from a side street, the Pope mobile pulls out in front of him. With no time for Sergiano to hit the brakes, there is a colossal collision. The next thing they know, Pope the Pollock and Sergiano are watching their souls departing the earth together. Of course, there is a bureaucratic, computerized mix-up on the way to heaven, and as a result, Sergiano is sent to pearly gates, while Pope the Pollock is sent to hell. The Pollock Pope, obviously pissed off that he is in the wrong place, soon convinces those in charge that there has been a mistake, and in the blink of an eye, he is transported to the pearly gates. As he walks into heaven, he meets Sergiano just coming out. "I am really sorry about this," says the Pope, bending to kiss the gates. "But I have waited all my life to kneel at the feet of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the purest virgin who has ever lived." Sergiano flashes a bright smile at the Pollock Pope. "Sorry, Father," he says, buttoning his pants, "but you are too late." Walter Bibble arrives at the pearly gates and is given a tour of heaven by Saint Peter. They are walking around Gabriel's garden when a small bell starts tinkling. All the angels and the saints fall to their knees and begin to pray. "What is that?" asks Walter, looking at this amazing sight. "Ah," replies Saint Peter, "an innocent child had just told her first lie. All the angels and saints are praying for her." a short while later, they are inspecting the harp and Alleluia bowling club. When a large bell starts ringing, a bus load of angels screeches to a stop in the street outside, and all the angels fly out on their knees and start praying. What is going on? Ask Walter. Ah, replies Saint Peter, an adult on earth has just told another lie, and all the angels and saints are praying for him. Later they are walking through the heavenly dollar shopping mall, when suddenly hundreds of bells start ringing. There is such a terrible noise that Walter drops to his knees, covers his ears and starts praying. Good God, exclaims Saint Peter, that Ronald Reagan and his gang are discussing Bhagwan again. Nivedana. Close your eyes. Feel your body to be frozen. Gather all your consciousness, your life energy inwards and go deeper. Without any fear, it is your own being, and unless you know it, you will suffer from death and life and thousand miseries. knowing your own being frees you from all misery, all suffering, and brings you a world full of joy, blissfulness, ecstasy. It all depends on you how deeper you go. Just become an arrow. Deeper, deeper, and deeper. This is you, the original man, the Buddha. With deep gratitude enter in. Don't remain standing outside the temple. And you will find inside nobody but yourself. What was moving around outside was just a projection. The real host is within you. Always and always. To make it clear, absolutely clear, Nivedana, relax, let the body lie there, the mind far away, and you are simply a watcher. Nothing has to be done, just to watch. This watching is your original nature, unspoiled. Undisturbed. It is just like a mirror. It has reflected many things, but it is still empty and silent. Drink from this well of your being and remember the way. 24 hours, whenever you have a little time, just look within. It is not far away. Refresh yourself 24 hours about your Buddhahood, so that all doubts drop and it becomes an spontaneous roar within you. Your Buddhahood is no more a thought, but in the roar of your whole being and totality, It becomes your ultimate experience. You are beyond time and beyond mind. You are beyond space. You are the eternity and you are the immortality. The whole sky is yours. All bondages fallen away. Ultimate freedom achieved. Vedana. Come back, but bring your Buddha with you. Bring your host with you. Slowly, silently, gracefully, sit down for a few moments, rejoicing and remembering the benediction that has happened to you. You have been to the holiest of the holy. You have seen the original man. Let this experience flow like an undercurrent in every act and gesture of your life. Slowly, slowly, it becomes just like heartbeat or breathing, spontaneous and on its own accord, waking or asleep, you remain the Buddha. And because of this undercurrent, all your character, all your ideas of good and bad, all your actions will be completely transformed to a totally new form that you have never imagined, never dreamt of. Change comes from inner experience, not vice versa. People try to change their character to know their Buddha. They will never be able to succeed. All the religions are doing that. I am teaching you just the opposite. First experience the Buddha, and that experience will start changing your experience, your love, your compassion. Everything around you will have a new light a new aura, a new fragrance. To me, the true religion begins from within and spreads outwards, not the other way. Can we celebrate the gathering of the Buddhas?
Yes.